The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to Mark. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. Jesus said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in a boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized Jesus and rushed about the whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that he might touch even the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of our one living and true God, amen. I'm going to stay down here, and why don't you all come on down too, because I never know what people are going to do behind me. Come on down. Thank you. Plenty of room, plenty of room. My name is Peter Kasparian. I'm a retired priest, most recently from the Diocese of Long Island, where I was rector of Teddy Roosevelt's church in Oyster Bay, Long Island. We retired to San Marcos 4 years ago. This is my wife here. We've retired to San Marcos. She goes to St. Mark's there, and I am now known as her husband. I have been doing interims in Austin. I've been at St. David's, St. Michael's, and in Georgetown at Grace in Georgetown. This is my first time at St. Andrew's. I've gotten to know Alex. What a blessing she is for you and this diocese, and her husband's pretty good too. What Tony and I were, what Tony was going to do at the beginning of the service was to introduce me as his friend, also from the Convocation of Churches in Europe, where Tony was in Belgium and Waterloo, and I was the rector of St. James in Florence, Italy, from 95 until 2004. And we worked together, prayed together, laughed together for a while, and in God's great ironic timing, we're here in the middle of Texas for some reason, after being in the great capitals of Europe for a long time. Before that, we were in Lexington, Kentucky for 10 years. Before that, I was chaplain, university chaplain to the mighty Jayhawks in Lawrence, Kansas. And before that, I was in Dallas, Texas at St. Mark's School, where Tony also was from, as a boy. And before that, I was in Kansas City as a young boyish priest. So it's great to be here in with you today. Alex told me that she preaches 7 to 9 minutes or so, and I think I've already gone well beyond that. So we've got plenty of time. When's lunch isn't until late anyway, so I'm just getting started at 7 minutes. But feel free to go like this when you've heard too much. The gospel lesson that you just heard is pretty familiar. There are wonderful phrases in there, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus invites his disciples who have just come back from their first missionary journey. You heard that story a couple of weeks ago. He had sent them out two by two, telling them not to take more than one cloak, just to take a little rucksack and salute no one on the road and knock the dust off your sandals if you're in a bad place. He gave them all sorts of preliminary instructions, and they've come back from their missionary journey two by two, enthusiastic, and they're telling stories to each other, and they're kind of hyper with this new power, this new energy, this new healing authority that Jesus has given them, and they're kind of visiting with each other. And Jesus says, basically, Let's get some R&R time. You guys are, it's wonderful that you're so excited and so filled up with the Spirit, but now is a time to kind of center ourselves again and get back on track together and maybe unify. You know how that is often very, very important after big experiences, to let it percolate and isolate and kind of come together and consolidate in ourselves after new experiences or powerful experiences. So Jesus in his wisdom says, there's a deserted place on the other side of the lake, and we're going to go over there for some quiet time. Some quiet time. Well, there are some, they get in the boats and row across, but the word is out. The word is out that this, it says, people recognize them. Those 12 disciples have stirred up so much energy in the populace. You know, what more is out there? And so they chase them. John and Andrew and James and Barnabas and Bartholomew, they chased them to the other side because they know they've been doing a lot. They've heard rumors. There's a big hunk, however, left out right here in this gospel story that the creators of the lectionary left out right in the middle of a hot summer. There are two big, big, big stories. There's a it's the feeding of the 5,000. That's what happens on the other side right away. When Jesus says he has compassion on them, they're like sheep without a shepherd. And what does he do? First, he feeds them. Five loaves and two fish, breaks it and fills their bellies. 5,000 are fed that day. Don't get much R&R when you're feeding, when you have a picnic for 5,000, do you? And then right after that, let's go back to the other side. There's no peace and quiet on this side. Jesus stays. It says Jesus stayed there and prayed in the deserted place while his disciples go back across the lake. They're rowing, and just like if you saw those videos on the Lake of the Ozarks or where that boat is swamped by a sudden storm that comes up on the lake and it goes down in a flash, one of those storms erupts on the sea there, and they're straining against it. And this is the story right in the middle of what we just read. Jesus walks across the stormy waters, the waves and the wind and the tumult, and stills the storm. That story's left out too. Those are big stories that somebody could preach about for more than 7 minutes each. What I think the writers of this gospel are doing in the middle of the summer, a long, hot summer, in the midst of politics that press on us, in the midst of family issues, in the midst of oppressive heat, in the midst of maybe a lot of the struggles and things that you might be going through. The writers of this are wanting us to hear Jesus say, go away to a deserted place. Take some time for yourself. It's essential to not be busy with busyness. Center yourself again. Take some time for vacation. You know what the root word of vacation is? Is to vacate, to open up, to get everything out so that you have time to kind of reorganize. Summer vacations are for that sort of reorientation. I grew up in a family where taking time and not being busy was not permissible. Look busy was kind of the watchword for our family. You know, there was always something to do. I didn't grow up on a farm, but it was almost the mentality was kind of like that. There are always chores to do. My mother would, if we're sitting at breakfast, my sisters and I, she put the cereal boxes in front of us at breakfast to read nutrition labels, you know, out loud. Just, you know, use some of your, let's start practice reading here the nutrition labels on cereal boxes. As I grew older, any time that I didn't look busy, my father gave me a job to do. I learned to look busy. I went to a school that had study halls, supervised study halls, where you were watched to make sure you were busy. And that's not just a thing of the past. You ever stand in line these days? And, you know, where we used to just stand in line and maybe chat with somebody, you know, everybody's like this now. We just got back from New York City. Our daughter lives there. We spent a few weeks there. Used to be on the subway. People are mixing and milling and chatting and maybe just looking crazy. But now, everybody is looking at a device of some sort. We're busy. It's this internal busyness. Take a break. Take a break. Find your deserted place. The 23rd Psalm is a wonderful echo of that place of refreshment and restoration. He leads us by still waters, leads us into green pastures. The Good Shepherd restores your soul. Where do you find green pastures in your life? Where do you find still waters? Where do you find deserted places deserted of confusion or busyness or the pressure of the outside? Find that this summer. Find that for a few days. Maybe that's what Alex is doing down at Mustang Island, watching the waves run in. That's restoring the soul time. Find that place this summer. Let your soul be restored. Amen. We stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.